Welcome to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. I'm your host, Kevin S. Fox, coming to you from Studio 6 near the baobab tree at Musasani Beach in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Tonight we explore a space of personal poetic development, favorite theme on the show, with Rukia Hatibu, a.k.a. the Annoying Artist.
So that's the whole point of the show or the event or the thing. I didn't want it to be a place where you come and be shy about what you... What I always tell myself is the one thing that when I'm thinking about, I'm like, oh, I can't share that. That's the one I'm going to share.
According to the Facebook page, the Annoying Artist is a forum where people come to unwind and reflect on their behavior, life choices, opinions, experiences, relationships, decisions, beliefs, and so much more. I first met Rukia at Pechakucha Nights in Dar es Salaam, where she described her projects. Tonight we talk about this forum that she has created, the importance of making public our ideas, of putting them out there. We get to hear some of her pieces, her blend of storytelling and poetry slam. We try to leave the small talk behind. And lastly, we explore her new project, an initiative in Arusha area in the northern parts of Tanzania, to help inspire young school children, both primary and secondary students, to explore their own identities, ask questions, and be cartographers of their own lives through writing and risk-taking. Stay tuned as we spend tonight speaking with Rukia Hatibu. So piece number one.
So this one is proved to be the most popular one, just because it was the one, the most people didn't really go into talking about it a lot, and I was like, this is so obviously something that we should address. And it's a piece called Jungle Fever, and Jungle Fever is a term given to the habits or the intentions foreigners have when they come down to Africa, male or female, to get the African experience. So I personally experienced jungle fever.
This isn't just about safaris now, is it?
Sorry?
This isn't just about going on a safari.
No, so you sort of want, you're interested in like an exotic experience for like an African. So I had no problem with any other person except for this particular person who was specifically here for that. And after finding out from co-workers and people who knew him and all that, I was like, oh, why? So I wrote this piece, and it was something I wish I would have said to him.
Uh-huh.
At a bar. So it's like a response to him wanting to buy me a drink. So that's the story.
All right,
here's what's gonna happen. All beginnings are lovely, so we're gonna be lovely. You'll buy me a drink in exchange for some time, and I'm gonna cover my mouth to check my breath when you're not looking. And you're gonna tell me how you really like the weather down here. I'll exaggerate my pride for the city, and when we're left with nothing to talk about, we're gonna compare all the presidents to Nyerere. And you're gonna give me some bullshit about how you think Magufuli should be running this country, thanks to that semester in politics that you had, right? See, you want me to chase you like it's at 2 a.m. at Via Via, and you think that I'm looking for some expat love, some milky chance to be led back to your expat pad where you yap on about the value of the dollar. I couldn't care less. Or worse, I think you want us to drive around and park somewhere besides where we get in the back and you're going to try really hard to compliment me, but only come up with something like, you guys' hair is so interesting. You want me to pop, lock, and drop it for you, right? I mean, to grind all up on you and wrap my lips around that, because the thicker, the better, right? I bet you want me to teach you how to dance to Ulindela. That blackness, but only in darkness, because you're uncomfortable about unprocessed coconut oil smells. I give you 2 months. Or maybe 2 months before your term here ends, and you're gonna come up with all sorts of excuses to suppress the attraction, like how my eyes aren't blue anyways, or the lack of my thigh gap. You're here for a few tight, non-committal nights, speaking out your ass before you have to fly back to be with your type. And we know your type, your picture perfect type, and by that I mean photogenic. And she'll be f***ing game, won't she? High-end makeup products, crotchless panties. She'll wax herself raw for you like every day is your wedding night, and she'll keep up with the trends and never dye her hair silly. Yeah, she'll think being a good mom is posting pictures to outshine some celeb mom, and she'll never kiss you like I can. And you're gonna force your hands together when your parents are around, and you're gonna be 40 plus wearing a V-neck and some bracelets because she wants people at the office to think she's with a cool guy. Her tights won't be worn out and torn in the middle like mine, but that's on you. And she'll definitely be a size 2 because poor you with the pressures of the world, right? You're here to cure your jungle fever, sir. Only it's harder because it's deeper. You see how your eyes are slightly saggy and sad? That's the weight. The weight of your stupidity, knowing exactly what you need but going with what you think you should want based on some genetic predisposition. You're deeply shallow, my friend, and you're not about to buy me a drink. You're about to extend your safari package. So I'm gonna make it very easy for you. I am not your experience, nor are we all here for your experiment. So thanks, but no thanks. Cheers. And that's jungle fever.
That's great. So did you... I mean, we have conversations in our head, right? And how we would play it out. Is this... Uh-huh. Is this... Did it happen?
So
this is what you would say.
This is what I would say. I didn't know at the time that his advances were specifically for that. And he's a person who was new in the community I live in, and I have friends who work with him and siblings, and they all came together. They're like, you went for dinner with who? No, that guy is here for this and this, that. The other time he was doing this, and I'm like, no, anyone. Anyone believe it, but it was true. And especially from the fact that he testified to them that that's what he's here for. Very open and
arrogant about it. And
well, yeah, I don't know if he was arrogant. I don't know if he was
overly
ignorant
honest.
Or no. Like he was just like, yeah, just need some black people here and then see what happens. And I'm like, oh my god. So, obviously, I didn't go back and say, oh, this piece is about you, or blah, blah, blah. He actually comes to the shows where I perform all this every time.
And doesn't realize it's about him, or someone like him?
I think he sort of knows that it's about him. Not about him, but like, yeah, his behavior. I don't think So
without maybe being too specific, mm-hmm. Where does he come from? Europe or North America?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
Europe. All right. Yeah, he's European.
He's not Austrian, is he?
No. No. No, he's, yeah, he's not Austrian.
Hello, people in Salzburg.
No. But yeah, he's European. And it's so performing that piece, for example, and this was the most like I didn't want to do it. I wrote it just almost just for me. to yeah. like vent and everything, and I was like,
so to channel that that energy in
that
creative way.
It wasn't very, it wasn't really anger actually, it was just disappointment.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, fine. And then I say, I think I was running out of material, like some sort of new fresh thing to do in the show, and I said, okay, I think I can do Jungle Fever. And I was that was the most skeptical one to do. I was like, I don't know what, because half of my audience is expat, the expat community.
Yeah.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode.
So, okay, so you use this piece at your... at the event that you've created and now host, mm-hmm. and obviously you're participating in mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. Sharing your stories. This is called The Annoying Artist.
Yes, The Annoying Artist.
Yeah, and I put a G there at the end of it, annoying, it, but it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Sorry, yeah.
Because all those names are taken online, so.
All right.
I mean, there's never like
for some practical reasons.
Yeah, no, all right. It's not like a, even The Annoying Artist itself, like, I went to a name generator online.
Yeah.
It's also lazy. Just put in a bunch of things and they give you options, and that came out.
Yeah.
So, it's The Annoying Artist. Mm-hmm.
So you've used this piece at the event, and, mm-hmm. and we'll talk a little bit more, I guess, about the event itself in a bit, but I want to continue with this, the Jungle Fever piece. Mm-hmm. So you're presenting it to a mixed audience, and mixed meaning expat and locals mm-hmm. in Arusha,
yes.
which is a town in the north of Tanzania.
Very touristic as well.
Very touristic. So it's mm-hmm. this, it's the town itself is always a mix of people from abroad and locals. So are you cutting through the, is this the white elephant in the room, as we say?
Like, yes.
The, something that people don't talk about so much?
So that's the whole point of the show or the event or the thing. I didn't want it to be a place where you come and be shy about what you... What I always tell myself is the one thing that when I'm thinking about, I'm like, oh, I can't share that. That's the one I'm going to share.
So you're taking a risk each time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's terrifying to do these pieces. I mean, I'm going to be terrified in Dar es Salaam.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's sure. a different audience.
Yeah, I think yeah. so. I think they're also, I don't know, I haven't had, this might be my first show, but I have a feeling there'll be a tougher crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They might give me the same response, but it is a little bit scary. But yes, so the whole point of me doing things like that, it's because I made sure that if I was going to start something, it has to actually be different from any other, from like the regular shows where people come and perform, you know,
mm-hmm.
poetry and spoken word and things like that, which is great. But there was something about attending these pieces and see these shows and seeing that that there needs to be more in depth and like there and. Willing to go up there and
get some courage.
Courage. Willing to go up there and like accept any bad feedback. Not just get an applause or like do this thing that has been done before and surprise people. Because Jungle Fever surprised people.
You surprised me, right?
Exactly.
So.
Yes, so that element of surprise when someone comes in and I don't have like I never usually have an itinerary or a program.
Yeah.
So you just sit there and you wait and then you experience a piece so you don't know what to expect. And that's what I wanted to bring with The Annoying Artist. And that's why I took it upon myself to write them first, because obviously then if I tell people, okay, this is what I want you to be as open as possible, they wouldn't understand it if they don't, there's no example. They will come and be like, oh, I think this is as honest as I can be, but you don't know then how honest you actually can be. So I say, and that's why I perform in all my shows, at least for now. I don't know how long I'm going to do it, I guess, until it's really ingrained in people's minds and I get like a team that really goes all out. Until then, I'll take it upon myself to write these very open, very, very intimate things or stories so that I can get it out there, what it is I want with the Annoying Artist.
Yeah. So it's not just about like having the courage to get up on stage and say anything. It's actually about saying something.
Uh-huh.
It's about crafting some story or a piece. We better just call these in general pieces, right? No, I like that.
Yes, it's true.
Your short essay or your monologue. Mm-hmm. We could call it by a number of different names, but mm-hmm. it's about critiquing something at the same time. It's not just, okay, I could get up there and hold on tight for 5 minutes and then sit back down and just love the applause. No, this is about actually
saying something.
And trying to shape the way maybe, I mean, if you are an expat mm-hmm. or a tourist, let's mm-hmm. say, and they mm-hmm. find your event for whatever reason, they find it while they're coming off of Kilimanjaro or on their way to Serengeti the next day. This is mm-hmm. it's quite a critique.
It is. And I mean, obviously, if you feel a personal attack, it was good that you had it, right?
Because it's sticking on you a little
bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's obviously not that, obviously, it's not that we're targeting specific people. But if you do feel it in your bones that, oh my gosh, I think she's right, or she's talking about something I've thought about or done, I mean, you can think about whatever you want. No one cares. Actions matter. So if it's something that you've done or you had it in these pieces that I performed, then it's good that you've come, and that's the point, right?
Yeah.
That's the point. I remember I did Jungle Fever. I practiced it to someone who is German before the show, before I did it for the first time, and he was like, oh my goodness, I told someone they have interesting hair the other day, and I don't think I should have. And it's not, you see, so, you know, he didn't do all these other stuff, but there was some things he found out, like, oh, that's not cool. That's not that it's not cool, but it just comes off as if we're, like, I don't know, some sort of, anyways, so, it is about saying something. And that's also the point I'm trying to get across, that like freedom of speech doesn't mean you just go there and say whatever. It also has to mean something, right? You can't abuse it. You can't say, oh, I can just go and swear and cuss and tell these stupid stories that have no lessons behind it or actual reasons why I wrote them, just because it's a platform that allows you to go and blabber on. No, that's not it. So that's why I took it upon myself to do these pieces first.
Yeah, I see. There's a couple of people in the audience, and here I'm just thinking more about their own sort of poetic development, and some I could see one person. This is going to, like you said before, you like to present the piece to sort of set the bar and say, this is possible,
mm-hmm.
right? And so for that, for some people, they're going to be inspired to then sit down and maybe write out feelings they already know they have. And then you have other people that maybe they're there and they haven't even put into words yet, or even haven't even considered what you've just put into words, and you're actually giving them a vehicle in some ways, giving them and maybe that's the role of the poet, right, is
mm-hmm.
to help put into words aspects of the human condition, aspects of everyday life,
mm-hmm.
of social relations,
mm-hmm.
of you and me, mm-hmm. the other, I, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is really, I think this piece is a little bit about, you know, the European, in this mm-hmm. case, mm-hmm. Or the American, mm-hmm. for that matter, othering the Black African, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right.
Do you think, are those the people that you see, when you're presenting and you're looking out in the audience, do you see those people?
Like the people that I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, the people, no, not the people that you're talking about, but the person that's listening to what you're saying and thinking, okay, I could do this too.
Yeah.
And then there's the other person that's, wow, she just put into words, maybe even something I haven't allowed myself even to think about yet.
So those are exactly the only two people.
Oh, they're the only two people.
That's right. The only feedback I get. That you can. I mean, obviously, when I'm up there as well, I'm trying to remember. I mean, I don't have any paper or whatever. I'm trying to remember my lines and my actions and everything, so I don't look very, very, very much into the audience, but. So this is the thing, my show is usually sort of like a solo show, but with like other acts in it, just so that I can have a spread out show.
Yeah.
So when other people are performing, or like there's a break somewhere, I really look, I watch
observing
them,
and
you can really see like the discussion that's going on. It's like, what? Oh yes, like the last time when I did Jungle Fever, it was like some mall show. And, during the break, so we have this thing called No Small Talk and session, and I would just pass over the two people talking, and they're all just like, and she, you know, the Jungle Fever doesn't have to be towards Black people, it's just towards anyone that's non-white.
The other, yeah, right?
Yeah, the other.
Yeah.
So it was like this Spanish girl, was like, I know what she's talking about. Like, I've been preyed upon or whatever because of my ethnicity bringing something attractive to the table and nothing else. So yes, I do see that in the audience when there's like that spark, like, oh my goodness, this piece in itself has blown my mind. And that's what I want when I write. That's why I write those pieces, because I know you're thinking it. I've been thinking it. So those and other people didn't want to put in words and present it. So I said, okay.
Yeah.
The pieces that even I'm going to be uncomfortable saying, those are the ones I'm going to do. And I'm going to mess up. Like, I am sure one of these shows, I'm going to get a boo. I'm going to get hecklers one day. It's going to be too much for some people. It
could be.
I think it will. But it's the whole point of the annoying artist. You're not there to be PC.
No. Good. Yeah, breaking through that.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. Geographical Imaginations is a growing multimedia public geography initiative designed to bring together academic and everyday geographical or spatial thinking. We believe everybody is a geographer and a co-maker of spaces. As an inquiry-based project, we ask questions and explore themes through dialogues with different texts and voices. Inevitably, our explorations return to simple yet complex questions. How does blank inform the way I picture the world in my head? And how does that picture in turn limit or expand my place in the world? The main focus of the project is this hour-long radio essay program broadcast monthly from Radio Fabrique in Salzburg, Austria. In each episode, we make brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. We reflect upon our relationships with the worlds we inhabit and co-create. While many of the episodes deal with local and regional topics, themes are somewhat universal, and our investigations could inform the geographical imaginations of those living anywhere in the world. Now let's get back to our episode.
you know, one of the strands of this show is, and it's called Geographical Imaginations, mm-hmm. and it's really about like how we piece together the world in our minds, mm-hmm. and I argue that that's even more powerful than the way we see the world is so internal, mm-hmm. and it's trying to get at how does that even form, right? How does our internal view of the world get shaped? And I hear in this piece, this is a poetic way, a poet's mm-hmm. way of challenging then its stereotypes, its cliches, but it's also how someone from the outside has envisioned here East Africa or Africa in general, maybe, mm-hmm. And not just the place, but the people and what those people could mean to them. And mm-hmm. so where did they get that from? And so you're challenging that and say, wait a second, look at you. Mm-hmm. Here's a little bit of a mirror. Mm-hmm. Where did you get this from?
Yeah, where did you get this idea from?
Which the poet's trying to intervene, I think. Yeah. The social scientist maybe then follows up with the questions after.
True.
But
yeah, so that's the aim of the annoying artist. Yeah, and then other pieces are usually very personal and very, I mean, something like this didn't happen, right? But I drew it from something that was going on or went on.
Very much could have happened.
Could have happened. Yeah. Or yeah, so it's very much a story that then, because I say that, relates to other people, right? But then I have pieces that are very specific to me and very personal. But I still find that the more specific I am, the better it is?
The
better it is, but also the more other people even relate to it even more. I found out that the more specific and personal pieces that I do, a lot of people have come and talked about it being the same for them.
And how it relates to them, yeah.
And how it relates to them. I mean, obviously it's not precisely the same, but it's like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's really interesting. It's almost a paradox in some ways, yeah. Right? In the sense that we want to relate to other people, and this is the idea of the universal. So mm-hmm. thinking that my experience is also connected to others. And yet when we try to write that or maybe put it out there, mm-hmm. it gets lost. And that it's actually expressing our what we think maybe is more of our individuality is then making this connection between you and other people.
Yeah, exactly. And immediately I had that. I was like, oh, right. Huh. This everything changed from then. I was like, okay, I'm going to be as... And every time I did it, whether it was on the show, off the show, or just some sort of just sharing a story to a friend that was so, I knew, I saw it. I saw that effect.
Yeah.
It's not always only you going through it. And that's how I write.
So the show's still new. How many times have you hosted? Because you've been up in, you're in Arusha, you're based out of Arusha. And
yes. I did it 3 times. So yeah. It could have been 4, but the first one was canceled. But so far, 3 shows. And uh-huh. The fourth one will be the one here in Dar es Salaam.
In Dar es Salaam. On November 30th.
November 30th,
yeah.
Which is, I think, 10 days from now. Yes.
And the format of it, I guess you've alluded to it a little bit. Do you usually start? Is that how it's...
Yeah, so
you have to start.
I have to start. So I should say it's very improvised, the shows.
Yeah.
Very improvised, because sometimes I have this clock in my head. I'm like, at 8, dot, 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 this person is going to go on. It never happens like that. And so I have to always have like extra things to perform or whatnot. But so the format is, yes, I start. So it's usually I do a piece, someone else does a piece, I do a piece, someone else does a piece, and so on. And then we have the 20-minute small talk session.
So it's 20 minutes long, session.
It's 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
It used to be 40 minutes because how unprepared and improvised it was. It was It was good, but it was very long. Right. And someone gave me a note like, yeah, it should be shorter. Because because then you exhausted all your answers and you don't know what else to say. But so, yeah, so I usually have, I perform four pieces in the beginning and four pieces after the break.
Yeah.
And those always come before or after someone else's performance. But it, I can never put it down on paper and have like an exact thing because I know it's going to be...
the feel of the night and who's there. And
African timing. I mean, yeah, all that has to be considered.
Yeah. Is that, so the no small talk, you give prompts? Is that how it works? Or questions? Or
yes.
themes to talk about?
They're just random questions. So we draw, we sort of pull them out of a hat. And they're just these random questions that I had gathered before the show, that I usually gather before the show. And yeah, they pair up. So, you know, we pair up according to ticket numbers. So, yeah. So for example, number one to number 10. Number one to number 10 would pair up to say number 30 to number 30, yeah, 31 to 40 or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that way we really mix the crowd, right?
So it's not just small talk with, no small talk with the people you sat down next to. No, you really mix everybody up.
No, because you're going to sit down with whoever you came with.
You're right. Right? So you mix it. Okay.
Yeah. The first 10 people are definitely going to be friends who've arrived at the same time. And
yeah,
they'll, like, they're lining. So you really have to stretch it out. In fact, I'm going to make 1 to 10 and then 40 to something. Hopefully they can, that many comes, but
yeah
so you really diversify the group, and then they have random unique questions to their groups, to their pairs. No one is answering the same questions, and you go, you don't do any small talk, you don't, obviously you tell them your name and then you do the questions, but you don't do the whole, hi, you know, I work here and I do this, and then you just do the questions,
right?
Yeah, 20 minutes and you get back. And then usually I wanted to make people just sit where they were paired, and then then I was like, maybe that's pushing it, maybe the conversation goes so badly and you don't want to push it into the second half, so people can go back to their original seats if they want,
right?
And enjoy the second half of the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, and the reason for that is because I found out that the more I shared things, or the more no small talk I had random people, which has been a lot, has really helped me, not only in my writing, but greatly the way I think,
yeah,
and the way I view the world, and the way I take in situations, and the way it's like not in a bad way, but growing up has fastened. Like I
get to the point.
I get to the point, and I can almost read people beforehand because I've talked to so many, and just conversations with random people, deep conversations or not small talk, I can say, it has really benefited me a lot and still continues to. And I figured that should be another thing I should introduce to my show, where people get the same chances, the same chance I got, because I know how beneficial it was to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the main idea of the show here really is this, to provide a forum for people to take whatever the next step is in the communication of their pieces.
Yeah, their pieces. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Whether you're gonna perform it or not, you know, you're always writing something. Even if you're not a writer, there's always something you want to get out, or you're hiding, or you know. And if you're not gonna go up there and say it, you can conversate. We can connect with someone in the audience who might make you want to explore yourself more or your thoughts more or not, you know?
Right. But it doesn't happen every time.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen every time, but it's something that there's a power in conversation, especially with strangers, that gets you out of your own head, that gets you thinking, gets you ready for situations that you never thought you would be ready for.
Yeah.
And that's the point, that's the reason of no small talk.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode.
Do you have another piece for us?
Do I? Whatever. I mean, I've been practicing, but I feel like I'm gonna mess up a little bit. There is a recent piece that I wrote. Okay. So I don't know which one you want to hear. Obviously, you don't know any of them, but. Okay, so I should also say that the Annoying Artist and what I perform, not all of it is... So it allows for people to come and perform things that have been done that you can adapt into your own stories or your own writing. For example, a chapter of a book, which is also something I'm going to do at the show. But also you can share really a monologue or a scene. You can even act it out if you want. Something that really... as long as you do it well, hopefully, something that spoke to you, or like that you think people should hear. So, I think two of the eight things I'm gonna do are not mine, but are either adapted or redone, just because of how I think it's important to spread that word or what it meant to me. So. Do you want to hear my original piece, or do you want to hear...
Sure.
An original piece? Something I've written?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm talking about these two, but they're both very rusty, right? Like, they're not...
Okay. We like rusty on the show.
They're not... Yes, but they're not very... I think I'm going to stutter, and it's not as well memorized as Jungle Fever. So I did a piece called Things That Make Me Panic, and it's not sort of like it's... I saw this girl, lady, do a list of things that made her panic online, and I felt like I could do that. So it was actually things that make me dash, so things that make me panic, or things that calm me down, things like that. And I wrote my pieces, my lists.
You made a list, yeah.
I made a list, and I found out that the things that make me panic is more than those that calm me down or whatever. So I figured that I'd share this. And sharing this again, it was very... I felt it was very specific and personal, but it was what everyone goes through anyways.
Yeah.
So I hope I remember it correctly. I might skip some things, but... things that make me panic. Borrowing money. Loneliness. Taking a joke way too far. Chewing loudly in a silent crowd. Confrontations. My room before I leave for work, and also just work. Having to feign busyness while suggesting concrete plans. Snakes. Not being funny. Procrastination and being gross in front of someone I like. Cancelling plans on acquaintances. Being conned, being misunderstood, being reprimanded. Cold goat meat. That scratching sound from the bottom of the car I drive. that Liverpool sign on the front window of the car I drive. Uncertainty about God. Pimples. Knowing that I have been rude. Emailing important people. Networking. Hugging my dad. Bad breath. That moment before I tell someone they have bad breath. Not looking my best. Meeting new people. Saying that I'm a writer. Getting drunk. Having to apologize. Being told I love you and not calling my mother. Airbnb. Highways. Missing flights. Wearing something short. Saying yes after I've said no. Bad lighting in bathrooms. Unreplied texts and a horrible video angle during Skype. Standing up to people older than me. Adding a friend on Facebook. My age on the pressure of the time I have left. More time, no time, little time. Second chances make me panic. Important people making time for me. Meeting an interesting guy, meeting an interesting girl. Leaving the house not knowing about the gas and also just gas. The fold of my stomach as I take a seat in front of someone. The fear that I'm not witty, that I'm not smart enough. The pressures of living up to my full potential and therefore succeeding makes me panic. Past due rent, using the toilet in someone else's house, a yawning audience, loving a stranger's child too much, people staring and eye contact. These are the things that make me panic.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode.
You're not only working like in these events, the shows, the Annoying Artist shows, in terms of trying to get people to take that risk and explore ideas and kind of tap into their own creativity. You also have your own outreach, which brings you into schools and to Maasai country and in and around Arusha and Kilimanjaro area.
Yes, so I know for a fact that the way I grew up and the way creativity was encouraged and the way I could access books and games and puzzles and film and music the way I could. It had to do a lot with how I grew up, and it influenced how I've turned out and how I can be like a 24-year-old telling like 50-something-year-olds to talk to each other. At my show, like, come and listen to this and, like, do that. It's a very almost unheard of thing for a young Tanzanian girl doing that. Mm-hmm. And I do owe that to how I grew up. So I figured that not to inspire people to become showmakers, or like people who
right.
perform, but people to really tap into their creativity and realize that it's okay and it's a great thing to explore. I thought that I can also start this with kids, right?
In their through writing more.
So what influenced me to be creative wasn't just that I was told, okay, now you can write, right? It was all these other things that tapped into it. right? In school or at home. It's like reading books, playing games, and solving puzzles, and, you know, having, like, you know, friendly classroom competitions and presentations.
Yeah.
Learning how to be confident in front of a crowd. Music, watching film, films and things like that. All that, inspired me and my way of thinking.
Yeah.
So I know it would do the way it did wonders for me. It would do the same for the kids who don't have that access.
I mean, obviously, that's where it starts too.
That's
right?
Where it starts. I'm not talking about the people who had the same access as me, right? Like international schools or schools with these tools for creativity. I'm talking about rural areas where you have all these very ambitious, very thirsty kids.
Yeah.
Who you know, in their schools, they don't have these tools to explore and be inspired to create. So I started an after-school project. Immediately when I came back from university last year, where we did all the things kids weren't doing in this certain area in Arusha, what they weren't doing in school. We watched films and we did arts and crafts and we sang and asked questions. You know, talked about, you know, what is it that they want to talk about, right? What is it that interests them? The questions. And it was so powerful because even the parents would then send them with, like, notes. Like, how does a plane fly? And so I'll tell the son, and then the son, or I'll tell the daughter, and the daughter will go and tell the... So it was, like, a whole community thing, and you can really see how much they wanted, how much everyone wants to have some sort of place where they're really allowed to ask however many questions they want to ask and be however they would like to be, had they not been in, like, the same schools or this community and everything. So, it ran for about 3 months. Anyways, I am now crowdfunding for it because I want two campuses, one in Oljoro, which is a rural Maasai area, and one in the city center to reach some people who are going to these national schools and don't have these tools really to do all these, what they call extracurricular activities. And so, it's called IDEM, and IDEM is a Maasai word for I can. And it started off very, very small. I mean, we had like 11 students in one table. I think by month two we had 60, so it was evidence enough that it's something that's created for.
Yeah,
and I want to continue with it.
And there's a community build it around it. School, home.
Yeah, school,
family.
Mm-hmm, family. I mean, everyone. There was a point where I was teaching the parents. There was a point where I think I had a 1 week where I was like, okay, fine. I'll designate, like, a table and a board for you guys, and we can all come and discuss about things. And, you know, the best discussions were things like, you know, them questioning their own beliefs and if these things really existed and things like that. It's a joy, and I want to continue with it.
Yeah, I guess that's an important thing to have, not just to come up with good questions, but then have a place where you can ask them.
Yes.
Right?
And there's no place like that, really. Exactly. So when they found that out, it was... And that was also the reason I had to take a break, and then now I'm back to wanting to fund it, because I was the only one there, right? I mean, teaching 60 students, all at different levels, all at different ages, by yourself. Like, well, I had one assistant who would, you know, do some things, but I mean, all that, it got very overwhelming. I was like, I did not think this through, but it's a good idea nonetheless. And when I get time, I will then come up with a much better comeback and much efficient way to do this.
A plan. Yeah.
A plan.
Because it was...
Yeah, it was just, I just
testing
started,
it out.
It was just testing it out. And
You learned lessons, and now you have a plan.
And now I have a plan, and that's all listed in the crowdfunding platform.
Directors, where to? So listeners in Austria and
yeah, so
it's and in the United States, if they wanted to support this, mm-hmm. how would they find you?
So it's up on Generosity. It's Generosity by Indiegogo, uh-huh. which is and it's the title is IDIM. Let's help children realize their potential.
And then the IDIM is ID.
IDIM. So it's A-I, okay. IDIM, literally. A-I-D-I-M, IDIM.
Okay. And the second half again was?
Let's help children realize their potential.
Okay.
And if you go, but then if you go to the Facebook page or the Instagram page, then you can sort of scroll down and see where I posted the, and you can follow the link.
And I'll be sure to put those links on the uh-huh. the website on Geographical Imaginations.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait to tell them. I get calls every day from like their parents. When are you bringing back the tuition? When are you bringing back the school? I can't wait to surprise them and be like, we're bringing it back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your different projects. And
Thank you.
This sharing is like your the own first stories, your pieces. Here we are again at the end of another episode of Geographical Imaginations. A big thanks to Rukia Hatibu, the Anoyan artist, for sharing her pieces. Also want to give a shout out to Kyrie Washington, the musician that we hear at the break and right now behind us. The Water Embers is the name of the song, and you can find it on soundcloud.com/artofescapism. Thanks to Kyrie. See you next month. Ciao.